Let's start with an overview of our 2019 overdose deaths in Peoria County.
What we know for a fact compared to 2018 is that we've had about a 30% reduction in the overdose deaths. What I like to say about that is that's an amazing feat for what we have accomplished in the terms of harm reduction, but we still have deaths. And I think even though people will say, wow, you've had 30%, I think that's awesome, we're still having deaths. And I think that's probably the most bothersome, is we're still having deaths.
In comparison to 2018, which was not a great year, was 2018 an anomaly?
You know what? 2018, we actually saw about 20% less from 2017. So we had a huge spike. I would say 2017 was we have a horrible, horrible issue here. 2016, I think we were just getting into the groove of we have a problem with opioids and heroin. And then in 2017, that number spiked. So, and then in 18, with the implementation of harm reduction, really that was inaugural from the Jolt Foundation and the community awareness for harm reduction, that number then dropped in 18 and then dropped again in 19. So 17 bad, 18 better, 19 even better.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about was whether or not the easy availability of Narcan, is that making a difference?
So there's a spread of reasons. When we look at the CDC's publication of what harm reduction is, we're doing those things in Peoria County. And historically, they weren't being done because we didn't have these numbers. But I would say factually that the Jolt Foundation and Dr. Olt's research into harm reduction, especially with her personal experience, really was the liftoff for what we needed in Peoria County. Narcan distribution. And it wasn't just distributing Narcan, it was educating people on what is harm reduction, and then how do we teach people about it, and then how do we distribute it out to people so it's accessible to the people who are using. And without that, I don't think we would have the numbers that we have. So that's number one, is Narcan education and distribution. The second thing is the fentanyl test strips and testing the medications and testing the drugs to make sure that they know what's in there to the best of their knowledge. And then if it's there, that they don't actually use that product. Number three is encouraging people to use with a friend or in a safe place, where if something did happen, they would have somebody there with them to call 911 or to get them help that they need. There was the Good Samaritan law that was brought back up to the surface, where if they were with somebody who was using and they had a certain amount of drug that was under a certain amount, that they wouldn't be arrested. And I don't know if that was widely successful, but it played a role in a small part of that reduction of numbers. The police departments who were distributing Narcan, using Narcan just as well as they would use their handcuffs in any other situation. It became a part of their uniform to have the Narcan. Those are all CDC guided things. Distributing Narcan on discharge from a hospital emergency department, discharge from the jail with Narcan, implementing medically assisted treatment in the jail. These are all things that are happening in Peoria County that weren't happening in 2015, that weren't happening in 2016. And now we have, it's all out there, you know, and we might have had a spread of it in 2016 or a spread of it in 2015, but not like we do right now. You know, I think the community coming together has really, really made a difference. You know, the collaboration with the police departments, the step-by-step fight of the Jolt Foundation to get people aware of what we have here in Peoria County and Peoria City, and then accepting that we needed their help.
Some would argue that those steps are enabling drug addicts.
I would say that people who think that that's enabling drug addicts do not understand substance use. And simply put, they don't understand the chemical component of the brain, how the drugs affect the brain, and the pathophysiology behind addiction. They just don't understand. As a medical practitioner, I'm a nurse by trade. I understand what happens in the brain with a simple Vicodin for a tooth pull and a prescription that might have 30 tablets involved, what that potential could do to my brain. And then that desire for that need for that drug again, you know, I would say it's not enabling at all.
It's more about safety.
It's more about safety. It's more about treating it as a medical condition, which is exactly what it is. It's an absolute medical condition.
Can we talk a little bit about age range? I think a number of people sort of put younger teens and maybe people in their 20s really into the drug overdose category, but is that really the case?
It's really not the case. I think back to, I would say probably my teens and my 20s, and you hear the word junkie and what that perception looks like, and this paradigm that you paint and the picture that you put in your head might be a flash of some obscurity from an MTV video. You know what I mean? It's simply not the case. We have seen overdose deaths from every community in every zip code in Peoria County, from every walk of life, everyone, school teachers, truck drivers, laborers, medical professionals. It spans everywhere. Our average age was 40 plus this year, in 2019, which tells me that we have a huge, huge, issue with addiction and substance use of people who are greater than the age of 40. You know, if our medium is right here in the middle of our bell curve, then we have people out here in the tail who are younger and older. So
we should also probably emphasize the fact that some of the deaths that happened in Peoria County aren't necessarily people who lived in Peoria County, but because we have trauma one here, do we end up with more deaths here?
You know, that's a great question. And what I have looked back over our statistical data over the last 4 years is I can safely say that on a broad spectrum, 20% of our volume is going to originate from somewhere else. Whether that be from Unity Point Pekin, they could come from Advocate Eureka, or even as far north as Morris. You know, if someone suffers an acute drug overdose and they're unresponsive, but they still have brain activity and they fly them down here to Peoria, even off the subject of addiction substance use for trauma purposes, 20% of my entire volume is going to come from the region somewhere. Stark County, Marshall County, McLean County, Mercer, McDonough, all around the region, we're going to get people from the region. And that's about 20% total. And so if we shave off what we have here, on my numbers here statistically, 20% of these numbers are going to shred off from a different county.
We've talked a lot about fentanyl and heroin and even some cocaine in the last 5 years or so, but you recently issued a press release with regards to designer drugs and the problems of designer drugs that are hitting the streets of Peoria. Can you talk to me a little bit about what you mean by designer drugs?
Yeah, so let me back you up for 1 minute because I think it's important that we emphasize the word cocaine. And cocaine is one of those drugs that's been widely used forever and ever and ever. But what we're finding in our toxicology is cocaine mixed with benzodiazepines like Xanax, Valium, and things like that. And they're showing up more and more and more and more frequently and in greater quantity. And that's a big, huge problem, especially for chronic cocaine users who may get their cocaine from a different, I'd like to say vendor, but from a different dealer. And then all of a sudden, they don't know what they're getting, and then they're dying. And that's a big part of our statistic. We're still seeing heroin. We're still seeing heroin with fentanyl. But in our cocaine, we're also seeing fentanyl mixed with the cocaine, which is being the perpetrator of our deaths, to be honest. So back to your question about the designer drugs. It's interesting because over the last few months, back to October, we found medications that were in our toxins that also had a supplemental, what we call designer drug, according to the CDC, because they're not widely seen, but they're now popping up, which is of grave concern. We're finding them again in our heroin, our fentanyl, and other drug products that people are using, cocaine, et cetera. So it's scary because they've not been there before, but now we're seeing them. For example, xylazine, which is considered a horse tranquilizer. Yes, if you Google it, you're going to see that, yes, it shows up in talks every now and then, but for the sakes and purposes of Peoria County, it's new to us. I haven't seen a case since I've been coroner here for 3 years now, so I felt that was newsworthy for me to let the public know, because a lot of this is public awareness. This is what we're finding. There's another one, isotonazine, which was found in a cocaine sample. Tianatapine, which these are hard to say and they're very long words to spell, was found in another tox that we had of a certain level. So it's important for people to know that they're out there. These drugs are out there.
And the reason why you're concerned is because Narcan doesn't necessarily work with these drugs.
I wouldn't say that. I would not say that they're Narcan resistant. I would say that they're going to require a lot more dosage of the Narcan. If you're with somebody who's using, you don't know what's in the drug and they go unresponsive, keep pounding the Narcan. The more Narcan, the better.
In terms of drug and what seems to be popular right now, fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, is there something else lurking out there that we're not seeing that's not on our daily radar?
I wouldn't say. I can only speak for what I'm seeing for the deaths over the overdoses, not for the ones that are successfully revived. We see loperamide quite a bit in our tox screens, and people are wondering, what's loperamide? It's the active ingredient found in Imodium AD. So in a dose amount of Imodium AD, loperamide works as a calcium channel blocker and can block the calcium channels responsible for your heart function. So it should be widely used with caution because it gives an opioid effect in a certain level in certain people. So it needs to only be used for what's on the box and prescribed and used for what's on the box because it's very, very dangerous.
You've talked a lot about harm reduction today. Are there other measures that we need to be taking as a community to continue to reduce the opioid problem?
I think in order for harm reduction to be in its full effect, for us to get the full benefit out of harm reduction, we need to continue to talk about addiction and what addiction looks like from a medical perspective. Because what I have seen, and I still hear it on social media, I still see it out in the public, I still hear it out of my own ears, stigma. And I can promise you that stigma still exists. People still feel marginalized by their addiction. And until we can wipe that away and really clear people's minds and their brains to see people as they are with their addiction instead of defining them by their addiction, I don't think we're going to gain much more traction, to be honest. We need all the resources we can get. And with the stigma still there, it's hurtful to the effort.
Your office deals with death every day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to wonder if overdose deaths and the deaths from the record amount of violence we've had in Peoria in the last couple of years, if that exacts a different toll on you and your staff.
You know, it's hard. It's hard because to me, these are senseless deaths. And, you know, when I talk with Dr. Ault or I see her post on Facebook, we feel the same way in the fact that there's a life, there's a soul, there's a family behind every one of these deaths. And until there's zero deaths, we can't stop working. We can't stop talking about it. We can't stop letting people know, you know, that we still need help in this effort in harm reduction. And there's so many more things that we can do. There's a life behind every one of these. And even beyond our homicide deaths and our drug overdose deaths, there's still a life behind every soul that we touch. And that's what's hard for me. You know, if you look behind me, you can see the pictures of my family. My adoptive son behind me, his mom died of a heroin overdose. And it's still so personally, you know, affects me because I wanted him to be able to meet her and to get to know her. And because of her addiction, he'll never get that opportunity. And that breaks me. Every time I think about it, it breaks me and it makes me sad. And I don't want people to have to go through that. I don't want anybody else to have to go through a loss that's so senseless when there's so many resources available.
How do you and your staff personally, though, deal with the number of deaths that you see every day? That can't be easy.
You know, we're always in the moment. We're always widely in the moment with our families. But we have to leave the moment when the moment's over because there's another family, you know, maybe another family who has suffered a cancer death in their family that's going to need us to be in their moment. Another family who might have suffered a traffic accident and died from that that's going to need us in that moment. So we have to be 100% in our moments, but then we have to be able to leave the moment. And sometimes it does take a toll. You know, I tell people that's how I operate in my moments, but rest assured to be in this job, you cannot leave your moments completely. You know, I think about my families all the time. All the time I think about different families, but I can't dwell on it.
Part of your job is counseling. It's not just the law enforcement aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I find myself having to counsel my staff through some of the calls that we go on and some of the families that we deal with. And, you know, it's funny to me. Sometimes when I'm heavy in an emotional moment with the family, they'll reach out and touch my hand and say, I've seen you on TV and I never wanted to meet you, but I'm glad that you are you.
Are there programs that you have internally available for your staff to handle those moments?
So Peoria County offers the employee assistance program for counseling and things like that. My door is always open, so if they have issues, we can talk about them. But I'm absolutely would refer them to professional therapy if they have, you know, a weight or an anchor that they're pulling behind them of emotion, because it is a very difficult place to be sometimes.
What's the one thing that you would want the public to know about your office that you don't think they know about?
Wow. That's a great question. I don't know. I got to think about that for a second.
That's okay.
The one thing, what was that again?
The one thing that you would want the public to know that you don't think they know about your office.
You know, I see different media posts every now and then. First of all, I try to avoid social media at all costs. Because people that can stand behind social media and make their posts, they really have no heart for what they see. And they might have a certain perception about the actions of what we do and how we do it. We have the public might not know this. Inside our wall, when you walk into our front door, and you'll see it when you leave, there's a symbol. And there's a list of core values that go around our symbol, our monogram, or whatever you want, our logo.
I saw that when I walked in.
The core values that go around that logo are extremely important to our office. So when we're out in the public, we know that and our logo is an oblong heart, which is a symbol of compassion, and then the scale, which is a symbol of justice. Every time that we're out working, those are our two primary focuses: justice for the deceased, advocacy for the family, and compassion at all times. And that's what we hope our public perceives us as when we're out in the public working diligently with our law enforcement and compassionately with our families. And that's what I hope our public sees us as.
Jamie Harwood, thank you very much for joining me today.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Jamie Harwood has served as Peoria County's coroner since 2016. I'm Kristen McHugh.